Through the course of history, and also in this present time, men and women rule over men and women, administering their authority by utilizing some form of government, either secular or religious. Submission to that authority is sometimes by choice, and sometimes it is not. From the very beginning of creation, God has declared that all things made are His, and it is by His power, authority, and judgment that they exist. He has also made understood that His kingdom and dominion are eternal, offering citizenship in His everlasting kingdom to all who will learn to walk humbly and obediently before Him. Even so, very few through the ages have ever chosen God to be their king. Instead, they exalt themselves and say, "We will unite together and take this world and make it better." God gave to His faithful servant Moses some historical facts concerning the emergence of civilization after the Great Flood, which He recorded in a book of the Bible called Genesis. And in the 11th chapter, verse 4 of Genesis, "And the people said, 'Come, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make our name famous, before we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" A tower whose top may reach to heaven? They were not being serious, or were they? After reading the entire account recorded of this dubious notion, it is clear that they were serious, as they set about to do exactly what they had imagined. And in so doing, God judged to disperse them across the face of the earth, putting an end to their arrogant delusion. Reflecting on this chronicle certainly brings into question the rationality of these individuals. However, is there really any difference between these ancient peoples and the dreamers of today? Men and women of today also strive to make their name famous, to be admired and esteemed, competing with one another to be the star or the elite at the top level of society, and to become major leaders in the world, building the greatest cities, tallest buildings, and most powerful armies. "Come, let us build us a city and a tower," said the people, "and let us make our name famous." And in the 11th chapter, verse 6 of Genesis, "And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.'" The attempt to build a tower whose top may reach to heaven by the descendants of Noah occurred after the waters of the great flood had receded and the families of his sons had begun to migrate. Noah and his sons knew God destroyed the old world because of man's wickedness. And even though it had only been a short amount of time since God brought to pass His judgment, their children's thoughts and dreams have become foolish, unthankful, and evil. And in their conceit, they united together to glorify themselves rather than God who created them and saved their fathers. In the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, John the Apostle was given a vision of the final day of judgment. He wrote that each person, whether small or great, will stand in judgment before God. "So then, every individual shall give account of themselves to God and will receive judgment according as they have done, whether it be right or wrong. Whether secular or religious, no government will be interceding in support of anyone on the final day of the judgment of God, joining together with the multitudes as a community or nation and rejecting the rule of God does have consequences. And the Lord said, 'Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.'" After leading the people out of Egypt, Moses received a message from God concerning his plan for them. And in the 19th chapter, verses 3 to 6 of the book of Exodus, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." God's plan was to deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt and bring them into the earthly promised land. The goal was to make a kingdom of treasured people and a holy nation upon this earth. This was also a similitude of the objective he has purposed for all men and women born into this world, to free each person from the bondage of sin and deliver them from the enemy of death, leading them into the heavenly promised land to be his spiritual kingdom and cherished eternal nation. God is good and upright and willing to teach the erring his ways. The meek and humble in heart he guides into his eternal judgments. All the paths of God are mercy and truth to those who keep his testimony and covenant, which he had delivered by the mouth of his Son Jesus the Messiah and his apostles to all mankind. "And the Lord called out of his holy mountain, saying, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a treasured people to me." After possessing the land of Canaan, also known as the Promised Land, the children of Israel had no man or woman ruling over them. The book called Judges chronicles approximately 450 years of that history. And in the 17th chapter, verse 6 of the book of Judges, "And in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Before his death, Joshua, who had been appointed by God to take the place of Moses, exhorted the people to love God, whom they had chosen to rule over them, and carefully heed his laws. After his death, and the death of all the Israelites that were of his generation, their children became a corrupted and sinful nation of evildoers, laden with iniquity, who chose to serve the false gods of the kingdoms that had not been destroyed when Israel obtained Canaan, forsaking God who had delivered their fathers from Egypt and given them the promised land. Therefore God judged to abandon the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he had placed among them, and delivered them to defeat at the hands of their foes and to the raiding of marauders, that through tribulation he might prove whether any of the people would keep and walk in his ways. Wherever they went, or whatever they did, God was against them for evil, as he had spoken to them by Moses and Joshua. And in those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And in the second chapter, verse 16 of the book of Judges, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." God provided Israel with judges for about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, literally engendering their birth and nurturing for the purpose of liberating Israel from their adversaries. In the account of a judge named Samson, an angel of God appeared to his mother and father, advising them that they were about to have a son who would begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, also instructing them as to what they should do for the child and themselves. And when God raised up the judges, he would then be with the judge to deliver Israel out of the hand of their enemies all the days of that judge. For God was moved with compassion due to their cries of sorrow and anguish, which were caused by their foes who persecuted and ravaged them. And the people would turn from their wickedness to follow the judge, but when the judge died, the children of Israel would again return to corrupting themselves, even more so than their fathers, obstinately persisting to do what was right in their own eyes, abandoning the course of their judges, worshiping false gods, defiling themselves in lewdness and iniquity. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges to deliver them from those that spoiled them. Through his prophet Isaiah, God proclaims the failings of an unwise and self-willed people. And in the first chapter, verses 2-3 in the book of Isaiah, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider." God had fostered the people with wisdom and care, providing his commandments on stone, and instructing that his ordinances and great works be written in books for them and the generations yet to come, so they might set their hope in him, keep his commandments, and not forget their covenant. Empowering each individual with the instruments to be a beloved citizen, and know that he who made both eyes and ears does indeed see and regard the doings of all his creatures that he created upon this earth, and not be as their fathers he had brought out of Egypt, only to be consumed in the wilderness. And yet, just as the descendants of Noah and his sons elected to pursue their own foolish thoughts and dreams, most of the men and women of Israel determined to defy the knowledge and understanding delivered to them, choosing not to hear the decrees of God or heed the previous judgments he administered upon the wicked. Hear, O heavens and earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Years after the era of the judges, the dissimulation of their generations was described in a psalm, recounting how when stricken by God, they returned and sought him deceitfully. And in verses 36 and 37 of the 78th chapter of Psalms, "Nevertheless, they did flatter God with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant." The godly and the faithful among the Israelites had almost completely vanished during the period of the judges. The people professed faithfulness, yet in duplicity made lengthy prayers and songs of praises to God, falsely believing a person could demonstrate their devotion to him by reciting and chanting words of honor and tribute. Superficially, they covered their bodies in colorful and embroidered garments made of fine linen and silk, and adorned themselves from head to toe with tinkling ornaments, chains, bracelets, earrings, and nose jewels. But in their hearts, they lusted for the esteem, admiration, and recognition received from one another rather than God. Foolishly, they judged such semblance would be acceptable to him and conceal their thoughts and intentions. However, it only resulted in the darkening and blinding of their minds in delusion. and they gave themselves fully to their pretentious and feigned worship of him. They did flatter God with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Not long after the period of the judges had ended, David the prophet, who was a child of that era, repented of his transgressions and asked God for help to change his sinful heart. And in verses 10 and 11 of the 51st chapter of Psalms, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." From the beginning of man, through civilizations of the past, and in today's world, men and women strive to achieve their own aspirations and to fulfill the imaginations of their evil heart, trusting in theories, presumptions and opinions, believing in fallacious signs, insignificant wonders, and pseudo-science. Willingly ignorant of the great truths and hope God has given and judgments he administers upon the earth for his purpose of raising children with clean hearts and right spirits to inhabit his heavenly kingdom. Certainly, in view of the history and facts that are accessible in this dispensation of time, the choice of a ruler is very clear, but not many listen or lend their ear and go backward instead of forward. On the final day of the judgment of God, what justification to enter his kingdom could be offered by those who despised his authority during their lives upon this earth? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Please take the time to study and examine his words.